3, 6 p.m. Armin Sullen, Armin Koch, Armin Merrick, and is Preston here?
He is not.
Okay.
Aaron is online, though.
And we have staff present. Citizens and comments. Nobody? Okay, move on to minutes for correction approval for July 18th, 2023.
Yeah,
no okay, stand as is. On to new business. PW 2023-67 water reports for April and June 2023.
Yep, this is April, May, and June's water report. Nothing fancy on here. You can see a couple of them, like we had 26 new customers, 46 and 37. So each month we get a lot of new movements still in time, which is really good. These do have to go to the city council and get approved per IEPA regulations. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer.
Just
pull it
up here for a second. Maybe I was misreading it, but it was like from April to May.
Mm-hmm.
Is it really just that big of a jump in water from?
No.
I didn't know if it was a typo or what.
No.
It's really the first one I've ever seen in these, so.
Probably pools.
Pool. That's what I was thinking. Pools and watering.
Pools.
Yeah, watering. You have sod. Yeah.
Would that be also maybe with coinciding with raging waves?
Raging waves is 1 million gallons of that, for sure. And then just this is when people start watering their yards.
Another million from all the kids in my neighborhood using my water sign.
Yes. Seems like it. And there could have been, I'd have to check, but there could have been some water main projects, could have been some flushing. Like you'll see a spike in August as well. For, like your neighborhood, we estimate almost 800,000 gallons of flushing.
Oh, so like 1 million and then about 800,000. Oh, I didn't realize what that was.
Time it with your chili cook off. No one will know.
There you go. there's no other questions or concerns. Consent?
Good?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Item number two, PW 2023-68, well number 7 standby generator design engineering agreement.
Yeah, so we've got our big standby generator project funded in the budget. This is the one that we tried to do 4 years ago?
Four or five years ago.
Thought it might only be a couple $100,000 and figured out we didn't have the appropriate switch gear. Yeah, a whole bunch of improvements needed. So now it's estimated at $1.2 million. This is probably one of the last big reliability improvements to protect against long-term power outages in our water system. We do not have any generators south of town.
Nothing for the wells.
Okay, so this will allow us basically to transfer water between towns or between parts of town. In the event of a long-term power outage, it is funded. So in order to bid it out this winter or spring, get it going next year, we need a design engineering agreement. So Brad's firm has provided a proposal for that. It is $52,000 in change, and we do recommend it moving forward. I did put in the memo. It's a little bit more than what we had expected even during budget time. We easily have savings from other projects, though, so we don't need to do a budget to do it. But we've changed scope as a result of some of the things that we've observed in the field, and then had to increase just the overall work on the activities.
In the event when we go to Lake Michigan Water, is this still going to be something that's going to be useful?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Okay.
This is sized for those pumps as well.
That would be.
That was the change in scope
from
the original thought process.
Someone up there made
it. There's Rusty.
I hate to spend that kind of money and just have it now.
Right.
Can you hear us, Rusty?
Okay. More questions or concerns? Probably have this as a regular item and not a for the price, and especially if department. Explain that why it's something up.
Sure.
All right. Number three, PW 2023-69, Well number 7, rehab, change order number 1.
All right, the well number 7 rehab project is complete. So this is the balancing change order, which we typically like to bring in front of the committee. So in this case, a deduction of slightly over $20,000 from the original contract. Certainly recommend approval of the change order. We'd be happy to address any questions that you all may have.
Don't have anything?
No.
It's always a good thing. That's good. Consent? Yeah, we'll put that on the consent then.
Okay.
Number 4, PW 2023-70, ordinance amending the Yorkville City Code, Title 7, Chapter 5, Section 7-5-3A.
All right, so we've got a memo in the packet from me, some materials that we talked about at the last meeting. We discussed this a couple months back. Some updated charts and figures based off of an internal conversation we had about what might be competitive within the region, at least as far as impact fees go, and not pricing developers out of the market. And then an ordinance from Kathy that would effectuate the staff recommendation if you choose to accept it. So in general, rather than go to a flat-based fee system, we did choose to keep the PE-based, so that's population equivalency-based. So a smaller studio apartment is going to pay less than the water connection fee because theoretically they're going to use less water than a single-unit home that has an estimated 3.5 people in it. So our current connection fees, it's on PDF page 37. Let's drag it over here. Is you know, anywhere from $1,500 to $5,500 between those again. And if you recall from a couple months ago, we did some calculations to kind of justify the legal limits of what we think that we can charge. And what we did, if you remember, is we took the Lake Michigan project and all the accompanying infrastructure pieces, and then divided that by the amount of population that it would serve and came out with like a per person dollar amount for responsibility. Then we had a conversation about we're still paying debts off of projects that we started 10, 15, 20 years ago. So shouldn't new residents still you know, pay into that because basically they're still receiving the benefit of it. So this middle row or column here is the maximum fee calculation we think we can legally charge. And we came in less than that. John definitely liked the gradual approach. And so we just took $1,000 basically and added it to the base fee cost currently, increased it another 4 times over the next, cut off one of the years here. Do it 5 times, basically land on a $5,000 increase across the board for each fee. So that would put us between $6,500 and $10,500 for a water connection fee. We have set this out to a number of builders and developers. I have not received any direct communication back on that. That is going to be dependent on their individual schedules, what they're doing, how concerned they are, whether they're planning, quite frankly, to continue developing in Yorkville if they're wrapping up a subdivision. In the past, when we've done this, there have been, I think, moderate amount of comments on water connection fee increases. But for the most part, the builders and developers in the past that I've talked to have understood the calculations, the need, and you know, they really only will balk if it's something they just feel is going to price them out of the market for the next subdivision. They definitely are more vocal and more concerned about general impact fees, land cash, parks and rec, police, library, when we've increased those in the past. But for water, I think most of them understand that we have to be able to sustain, you know, the existing population and then continue to grow. And so there's been, in my opinion, less objection to water grants in the past. So, but this is the recommendation for residential. And then within the ordinance, we did the same thing with the commercial. So anything that's non-residential, so technically industrial too, we slapped a $1,000 increase 5 times on whatever the existing prices are, so that the, you know, cost of Lake Michigan will be defrayed a little bit. So as a general reminder for applicability, Christy had ran this analysis a couple meetings ago, which basically said, you know, you have subdivisions with FELOCs, so Grand Reserve, all of those, and they actually ended up building the water system within Grand Reserve 20 years ago, so their water connection fee is zero. So that's that FELOC. You've got other ones, Caledonia, Raintree Village, and then the ones that it would apply to, Prairie Meadows, you know, hasn't built anything in a while. It's owned by Menards. They have yet to sell it to a developer or to a single homeowner. With Spring Meadows, we haven't pulled a building permit since the recession. Still, and then Bristol Bay is under active development, obviously. So limited applicability to these. It's really when the next subdivision comes to us, you know, you're going to have the opportunity to say, this is what our fees are based on these, like, Michigan projects, and if you want to develop here, this is what you have to pay. So John did ask for a history of water connection fees that we have not compiled yet. Not the dollar amount per home, but the aggregate total within our budget, just so you have an understanding of the, you know, dollar impact it might have on the water fund. You know, in recent years when we've been doing 300 or 400 homes per year, you know, we've generated $500,000 or $600,000 in water connection fees. So, you know, the ability to increase these, you know, by double digit percentages in some cases, you know, should generate in theory a couple $100,000 in really good years when there's a lot of homes being built, which is, you know, a sizable chunk out of the debt service for Lake Michigan. So you're looking at millions of dollars per year, and if we can offset that by several $100,000 like we did with the food and beverage tax, you know, that chips away at, you know, the water rate increases needed. So that's our recommendation. We did, you know, send this out a week and a half ago, maybe a week ago to the builders and developers, and the fact that there aren't any here yet isn't probably a great indication that they don't have concerns. But if you accept the recommendation or just choose to move it forward to City Council, we would definitely make sure that they understood that it was on an agenda and that they need to speak now if they have any concerns about it jeopardizing development in Yorkville. So that's where we're at. I think we're prepared to move forward with it just so that it's on the books. We can start to communicate with people. Then hopefully a few years from now start to, you know, generate some of this increased revenue from people building and moving into town.
I'll go first. Just two questions I had. First of all, we're voting on when we vote on this will be for the whole 5 years out, right?
Yeah.
That would be
our model.
Buying anything on year 4 or 5, either way.
Nope.
Okay. And then so Timber Ridge, that's down one that goes off of Van Emmon down there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a brand new subdivision, right?
It was an older subdivision that had been there since '08.
And they have a lock?
I think that was when they started it back up again. They negotiated a lock.
Yeah, they did.
For all their homes in there?
Yeah. I think we gave them 5 years or 3 years.
I know they have a certain amount of years before.
Okay.
The water main. They have a whole schedule.
Okay, so my question would be, let's say it was 5 years, just for argument's sake. And for some reason that stalls and they don't start doing anything until 6 or 7 years, what happens then with that subdivision?
So
that's like the only new one that we really have in the books. It's not.
Sure. So what's going to happen, and I made mention of this the last time we talked about it too, is at the expiration of a FELOC, we always give somebody notification that it's going to expire. That way there's not a question when they come in and do it a day after it expires about how much they have to pay. Usually what happens is when that expires, we will end up having a conversation with the builder about what their remaining plans are. And usually they're asking us, like, can I pay those in advance? So the benefit there is it generates immediate cash flow regardless of how quickly the subdivision gets built out, but it is at the lower dollar amount. So that is, I would say, likely to occur for anybody who's thinking about active development. They'll pay it off before their FELOC. Additionally, because we're forecasting a 5-year increase, you'll have people every year that'll be like, oh, okay, I know that I'm going to build 20 homes next year, but after that, I don't know, but I'm going to pay off these 20. So it should cause a relative spike, is my guess, in, you know, people paying now, even in advance of growth. So that's But that's the process, is they have the right to basically come in, prepay those fees even if they're not constructing it.
For all the houses
correct.
That they're
yep.
planning on building. Okay. Any questions? Okay.
Do we expect anybody to come back and say, well, I'd like, you know, I want to pay these in advance, but I'd like to get a FELOC moving forward. Do we expect anybody to potentially come with that type of proposal? Like, if I buy, do these 100 now, I want
yep.
this to be locked, I want to do 100 next year.
Yes, only to the point that that is a standard development ask these
yeah.
days.
Okay.
I don't think I've negotiated with a developer in the past 10 years that hasn't, you know, come to the table with a request for some
yeah.
fee certainty.
Because I was thinking, like, you had the whole back half where you in Whispering Meadows there. And if, so let's say they turn on, they sold that. How would that work? And somebody else was going to develop the back
Whispering
half.
Meadows has no FELOC.
No FELOC.
So
no, I'm talking about Whispering Meadows.
Yeah, Whispering
yeah.
Meadows. They have
no,
no
FELOC. Okay.
That expired so long ago.
Right.
You know, so the next person that comes in and pulls a building permit, whatever fee is in place at the time of that building permit will be put on the building permit fee. And if they are a single homeowner, they're not going to really have the opportunity to negotiate with us. It'll be you pay that or you don't get a building permit. If they are a developer or somebody who claims that they're not a developer but owns several dozen lots in the subdivision, you know, they'll come to us and they'll say, you know, before I do this, I'm looking for a reduction. You know, your permit fees are too high, et cetera. And you have the right to tell them no. So that's a policy decision for the city council at the time. So.
Okay, so it does come to us to decide if they were offering you a negotiated type
yep.
of... See, that's what I was wondering. How can,
yeah.
could they negotiate around the
no.
fees is what I was wondering.
Not without your approval.
Yep. Okay.
All comes to you guys.
Okay. All right. So essentially where we're at right now, though, we're at the 550, for the maximum, 555. Mistaken. It's
yep.
all valid through April 30th of next year, and mm-hmm. boom, your fiscal year.
Each year. Yes. Yeah.
How long have they been at the current rates?
2017 was the last ordinance that I found that re-put those in there. They were 5,100, I want to
yeah.
say, that's since
right.
2013 or 2012, maybe.
Yeah, we kind of froze for quite a while
yeah.
with the recession.
Yeah.
So there was a modest adjustment. Before then, they were $3,700, and that was from probably 2005-ish to 2013-ish.
And that's when everybody negotiated in their annexation.
Exactly.
And agreement.
Yeah.
So
before that, they were $2,800
yeah.
until like 2003 or 2004.
And Bristol Bay, so that one's not locked, right?
It's not.
And they still got 1,200 homes in there. And that's the one that just did recently.
That was the number's going down quickly.
Yeah, I knew that they were. We just had them through here.
Oh.
Yep. It also includes though, everything south of Galena.
Right.
So there's that big detention basin that never got built. Those lots are entitled down there. So they could get built. They're just not planned.
Okay.
And it's under mixed ownership too. So.
They're building a lot of multifamily and single family.
Mm-hmm. That's the area next to where you live.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the south
yep.
Side.
Yep.
They'd be a prime example. They would be somebody who would prepay them.
Yeah, it makes sense that they would want to come in and prepay
yep.
it if...
They're not doing any condos here, right? It's all townhouses.
Yes, they are.
No,
there's still
there's
several, I think, a dozen or so condo buildings that are entitled there that have not been constructed, and they're in the process, I think, of either pulling building permits or thinking about pulling building permits.
Yeah, they're doing townhomes now, and I think the condos are not.
On the south side?
No,
or
north.
North.
Yep. South has no infrastructure.
How much do we have any idea how many living spaces they have on the north side of Fox Valley?
Off the top of my head, no, but I can give it to you. No.
Hundreds.
Yeah.
Those
so the south side is going to be considerably really smaller if it's ever done.
I think it's more single family on the south
okay.
side. It's more spread out because there was
on. You're correct. It was mostly single family with some duplexes.
Yes. It wasn't near as dense.
So I'm assuming then is the water park away there? Is that what that's called? Would that extend into that subdivision? If
it would be Rosenwinkel and it would
that
connect
the
water park away.
Got it.
Originally, water parkway was Rosenwinkel. We changed it several years ago for remarketing, basically.
Right.
Because it was supposed to connect up into Whistle Bay.
So you're saying Gas and Wash should have got their quicker to call.
They should have money's.
But just
not. Money's.
Free vacuum cleaner away.
Anything else?
No, I think it's
just Rusty good. Okay.
Good.
So, yeah, I think this should be as a regular item. I'm sure that maybe some other comments.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's got more votes. Okay, Public Works, number five is Public Works 2023-71 tandem axle dump truck purchase.
Absolutely. We are going to try to buy another truck. Unfortunately, this is a scheduled replacement of one of the trucks, the first truck that we actually rehabbed. So that's been 5 years since we did the rehab, so we got our extra 5 years out of it, and we'll actually get an extra seven by the time we get this truck. So it did its job. That other truck is still working well, but we would like to move forward with the replacement to keep us on schedule since they are such a long lead time. We switched brands. Again, looking to go to a Western Star, and the reason we did this is the County Highway Department has switched to them and now has a, when I talked to Fran, they have a standing order. Every year they order one, and he said, I want to order one until all of my old Internationals are gone. Every year. And they're very happy with them, and they come in very well priced. It looks like almost a $60,000 savings over what we budgeted.
It's not getting called very often.
It's John.
He always does that during our. It's always.
I swear he doesn't know the schedule.
He's calling again.
You want me to text him? I'll tell him.
Yeah, tell him Public Works.
He's probably calling me next. I guarantee.
That's what I was going to say. I'm going to turn mine down. So probably not. Call me or text me.
Talk to Eric.
Okay, so back to the truck.
Yeah,
sorry about that.
This was every other one, when I asked about the delivery dates and possible price increases, he said, just like the other ones, he goes, we had some that did not. We had one that had a couple price increases, and we were able to buy one as a demo. So he says, it's been all over the board, but it's been almost 2 years by the time they get the truck.
Did they say if they were getting the increases on the weight?
No,
like the other companies were doing.
Nobody will even tell you a wait time anymore. The on the quote, I believe it's on the following page. One of them says, allow 300 days plus an additional 180.
Yeah, I think what Ken's asking is, we've had scenarios where it's increased four or five times.
That's
also he said that there's nothing. He said they have had
increases. If they're telling you they'll put it. You got to put it off longer. I get that, maybe.
Yeah.
It's just that when they tell you that and then they hit you with an increase.
I agree, but we haven't seen that with the Mac. We had one little increase. The Peterbilt was the big one that we had, and we still haven't received that truck.
All of the Trans-Air will be asking you that.
Yep. That's why we put it in there. That's why we put all the information we could.
Nobody wanted to know.
Yeah, and just like everything else, it's all over the board still. There's no definite time frame, there's no definite slot, and when you get to the bodybuilders, they still take another 6 months. This is budgeted again.
Any questions? Yeah, don't know how we can get around this, so
yeah.
Hopefully, better luck with this.
Yeah, we hope. As we've done with the trucks in the past, we'll look to get rid of this existing 101 when it comes in, right?
When it comes in, I actually have a call into a gentleman that's going to come down and do a professional assessment of it.
Yeah.
So a real price, so we can decide what we want to do with it.
So would you consider keeping it even after you get the new one?
Possible.
So it's that good of a truck?
It's reliable, and it's old enough where it doesn't have a lot of the Tier 4 emission problems that some of the new ones have. There's not a lot of the emission controls on it, which makes it much easier to work on, much less expensive to operate. Doesn't need DEF, no regens.
Relatively low miles, too.
It is, but it's kind of like our stuff is kind of like a dragster. Yeah, we take it out and snowplow with it. It's kind of like you're going full throttle the whole time.
Yeah, a lot of idle time on it.
Yeah, and a lot of rough use. You know, it's just, it's not an over-the-road truck for sure. So 100,000 like that's probably closer to 200,000 on an over-the-road. Which is still not a lot of miles.
No.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yep. Rusty?
Okay. I'll probably put that on the regular agenda too, just...
Absolutely. Put on consent and make Dan move it on.
Dan move it on. I'll hear about that though. When he's walking the dog, so make sure he mentions it to me. That's all.
Mentions it or leaves you a little something in the air there.
You run this group way differently than I do.
So, all right. Any old business? Any additional business?
Just one item of note: we put up. You approved the other week. The stop signs at Grand Reserve, there were 7 different intersections that got revamped. They're all done now and up, just so in case you get anybody gets called. It's
awesome.
We did change it a little bit. The PD was nice enough. They put out some of their message boards to let people know as well, because it's some of them have lived there 20 years without it.
Yeah.
They do have one. The fire hydrant right in the middle of the road.
It's gone.
Is it gone already?
Yeah. Okay. That was a flush hydrant. They couldn't get that one section to pass, so we put a hydrant on the end.
I thought that's the one you were telling me
yep.
about. I wanted to make sure.
Yep, it's gone, and the connection was made today.
Because, yeah, Crazy Carrie emailed me about 20
times.
Yeah,
she was not happy. That's okay.
I told her it'll be gone soon.
Yep, it's gone.
Go back to trolling Facebook.
Exactly.
We don't want to send out mailers reminding them what stop signs look like.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what this means. They're red in color. Stop signs typically white.
Yeah.
What?
Always.
Okay, if there's nothing else, then adjourn the meeting at 6:27.
Oh, well.